And we are back. We are live back here on Channel 9, here live at Ignite in Orlando, Florida. I'm Christina Warren, and I am joined right now by Jeff Holland, who is Mr. Serverless.
Yeah, wow, that's great.
That's your
name. Can we get that trending?
yes, everyone, please hashtag Mr. Serverless.
Mr. Serverless. Right here.
With the hashtag MSIgnite on Twitter, let's get this going. Jeff, what's your title?
Yeah, so I'm Senior Program Manager for the Azure Functions team. But as you mentioned, before Azure Functions, I was on Logic Apps, and even now work kind of across all the serverless different flavors that Azure has.
As I said, Mr. Serverless.
Mr. Serverless.
Yeah, I tell Sean from the Webpack team, I call him Mr. Webpack.
Yeah.
You're now Mr. Serverless.
So you're very creative, is what you're telling me. you pretty much just say Mr. and then what they work on.
Well, yes,
or
but
Mr.
Or Miss or Ms. or Z or whatever. We don't have to be discriminatory. But in this case, you are like actually Mr. Serverless because you, like you said, you've done all these things.
Sure.
So we're going to talk about some of the. There've been a bunch of serverless announcements around functions and Logic Apps and everything. Other stuff at Ignite. So what's the big news? Break it down for us.
Yeah, so serverless is exciting. There's a lot of fun things going in. What we learn every time we come to Ignite, like it's been around for a long time, but there's still a lot of people who are coming up to speed with like, what is serverless? Why should I care about it? And I was reminded of this yesterday. I was telling you before the show.
Yeah.
We actually went to dinner, and while we were at dinner, I was wearing, because I am Mr. Serverless, so I was wearing a shirt that says serverless on it, so I can represent the brand. And our waiter came over and he was talking to all of us and he was just like, what's your shirt? And I was like, oh, it's serverless. And he's just like, And he walked away and he didn't seem very happy. And I wasn't sure why. And it took me a bit to realize that he thought I was saying we need less servers. But really, I'm saying we need less servers. So I made sure I let him know, hey, I'm all for servers.
Just not servers.
So, and that's really what serverless is about. The whole idea is when you're building these applications, you have to think a lot less about the servers that you're working with behind the scenes, and you get to focus more on the fun stuff, like what's the app that I want to build, what's the workflow that I want to run, what's the process that I need to happen. So the focus at Ignite this week from across the teams has been a lot of cool stuff around enterprise-grade serverless, kind of taking it out of this new niche area into this is ready for an enterprise mission critical app.
Yeah, I was going to say, because a lot of people, they hear, serverless, and first, you have to reassure them there's still a server.
I know. We haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's a brand new thing, but we promised you just less. And like, this is really cool for startups. This might be cool for my personal project, but there's no way that I can replace some of my existing infrastructure if I'm in an enterprise. I need really reliable things. This isn't that. But now it's becoming that.
It definitely is. And that's one thing we've learned. Like, it's been a journey. It starts with like, hey, we have one customer who's like, I just have a bunch of data coming off of airplanes or something, and I need to be able to process those with functions. And that's a great start. But it started to evolve to, hey, we have an order processing system. We have, thousands of orders that are happening at some e-shop every single hour. I want to have this all driven by serverless. And the set of requirements that you have in those worlds gets really complicated between security and isolation and performance and reliability. So it's been a good journey to go on, but we've kind of been matching it step for step and been able to say, hey, here's what you need to make sure that you can monitor your app, that you can control how and where it runs and make sure that it's reliable. So there's been some cool progress there too.
And so what are some of the high-level, some of the new things that people can look forward to?
I know. And I'm making sure all the good sessions have happened. I don't want to announce. Well, I guess I do want to announce exclusively.
Yeah, exclusively right here on Channel 9 Live at Ignite. Jeff is giving us the real scoop.
Big stuff. Azure Functions, some cool things. So the biggest one is we have a new version of the Azure Functions runtime. It's called Azure Functions V2, which I know is meaningless to a lot of people.
But it's a big deal.
It is.
Everybody I've talked to about this has been super, super excited. People on the teams, people who've seen it, getting prepared. They're like, V2, they're so excited.
I know.
why is it so exciting? Explain to our audience.
Yeah, a few cool things about it. So we rewrote the entire Azure Functions host, the engine that actually is in charge of running your serverless code. So it's all on top of .NET Core 2.1. And if you've been following along with the .NET stuff, that's given us, for one, really good performance improvements. Like, these things are blazing fast now. But on top of it, it also means these functions can run anywhere. So .NET Core can run on Linux, on Mac, on IoT. So now Functions can run in all those places. And then we've paired it with a bunch of cool features, like the getting started experience in the portal is better. We integrate with things like Azure Key Vault for secrets so that you can have your secrets in Key Vault. And we're even providing new hosting options so you can choose like, hey, maybe for this application, I only want these functions running inside of my VNet on machines that are specifically for my enterprise. I know that's a kind of serverful way of doing it, but we've even announced new hosting models and new plans where you can say, I want a little bit more control of what's happening in this magical cloud. So those are some of the big highlights, I think, with V2.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And so in this, I mean, when is this rolling out? When will people be able to use this stuff?
Yeah, so it became generally available at whatever, 9 a.m. on Monday when the conference started. So you can test it out now.
So you can test it now.
I know, you should. And if you even go into like the Azure portal, the quick start experience is, I know it's not as like flashy of a demo, but it's one of the things I think it's the most important because serverless has been something we've talked about for a while, but it's still pretty early in its adoption cycle.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who've never used it before. In fact, I imagine a lot of people watching this now probably haven't.
Definitely. No, I mean, it, like you said, it's one of those topics where you hear a lot about it. It's definitely one of those trends. It's one of those buzzwords. You know, it's the new hotness. It's kind of like, you know, like containers was a couple
blockchain.
Years ago.
Blockchain. Yeah.
Containers, you know, whatever. Like, and serverless is along that. But yeah, but people might not be familiar, so they can get started with the quick start guides. Now, what if somebody had an Azure function in V1? How do they migrate that over to V2?
Yeah, that's a very common question. So we did post a document on docs.microsoft.com, which is, it's called like comparing version 1 and version 2, but there's a whole section on it. The good news is it's pretty straightforward. Most of the change actually comes in that Functions V1 is .NET Framework, and Functions V2 is .NET Core. So most of the burden is just making sure that you're using classes, you're using types that are supported in .NET Standard 2 and not anything that's unique to .NET Framework. Some of our templates, we're relying on things that, you know, are only in .NET Framework. But other than that, for the most part, you can just kind of tweak your project setting, or in cases of JavaScript, it's really just as easy as saying, this is now V2 running Node 8 or Node 10. And you're up and running. Like for the most part, the patterns are the same, the triggers are the same. It's more of just like, is it compatible with the new languages, these updated languages we support?
Gotcha. So a lot of people won't have to do anything, but if you were using maybe specific .NET framework classes, then you want to make sure that it's, I guess, updated appropriately.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Very cool. We were talking before, you know, as you said, you know, a lot of people might not have built, Azure Functions or Logic Apps or really played with serverless. What are some of your favorites use cases that you've seen?
So a fun one that I just like is this idea of a serverless website. It's a unique concept. It's actually how, like, so I have, like, my own personal site. It's how I host it because I'm not very popular, even though I'm Mr. Serverless, but it means I don't pay anything for this site. And the idea is you have like a storage account, Azure Storage, and you stick your HTML page in there. So there's no web hosting, there's no servers, and when someone goes, they pull that HTML page, and then it calls out to things like Logic Apps or Functions behind the scenes to go populate it and give it real-time data. And so there's no persistent storage there, it's just all dynamic and serverless. So that's a really fun scenario. We've seen some people do some cool things, but especially from the angle of people who've never done it before, we actually have some amazing CDAs who wrote a full, it's like 8-module, step-by-step guide that gets you started building a serverless website just like what I described, but it includes like artificial intelligence, there's image recognition in there, and it gives you everything you need. So if you've never done it before, it gives you the Azure Cloud Shell right next to it. It's like, type this in, you get up and running. So that's been a fun one, are kind of these serverless website backends and the nice call to action of there's a way to go set it up now. But there's been some other cool things I've seen customers do. There was a blog post in Amsterdam from like the tourist department, and they wrote an application. So if you're going around Amsterdam and you take a picture of a landmark, it'll come back and it'll be like, hey, this is such and such landmark and here's some facts about it. And behind the scenes, again, that's completely serverless.
Right.
So it just scales up for it. And the only other one I really like is we actually have another person who's written logic apps that go and monitor their son's artificial pancreas for them. So their son has diabetes. And they want to make sure that they're getting the right insulin levels, that the battery is up to date and all those things. And, you know, he's a father. He's
like,
he's at school, he's at camp. I don't want to call him every 5 minutes.
You don't want to call him. And so instead he can just, you know, he has this Logic app and then log into his website or wherever.
Yeah,
and
it sends a notification to his phone at this point if it's like, hey, the battery's at 20%. And so just the fact that, like, he's not paying some $100 a month for this service, he's just like, hey, here's a nice serverless workflow that I want that's really enriched his life. And I love those kind of stories where it's like, yeah, someone has something they want to build, they can go build it quickly and make an impact in their life.
I love that too. As someone that I know who's at Microsoft, Jason Young, he told me, he was actually the first person who kind of was talking to me about Azure Functions and Logic Apps, and he built this thing when he lived in the Puget Sound area where he basically had it ping the toll times to get over the bridge, and then had a time base, and so he could get an update, like, this is how much it's going to cost. And so he could kind of, he had like a Power BI dashboard that he plugged this into, so he could kind of say, okay, I need to leave by this time if I want to be under this amount of money. Which is really,
that's,
I thought,
super,
like,
cool.
Brilliant.
That's a great,
like,
idea. Why, right? Do I not have this?
Right? Like, I've told him, I was like, you need to open source this. He's like, there's some weird things about it. I'm like, I don't care how ugly the code is. Just put it on GitHub. Like, this is like,
other people will clean it up for
exactly,
you.
Exactly. That's not what open source is about. It's about sharing, but and collaboration. But still, like, I'm like, no, just, that's so cool.
That is cool.
But you can think about those ideas where if you have, you know, access to kind of these, you know, data feeds and whatnot, where the same thing, the example with the artificial pancreas, where you can just kind of build these things really easily and just have them ping you or update when you need to have it going on without having to have constant compute running, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And oftentimes you'll hear this kind of concept of serverless glue, where serverless is almost becoming, in some ways, it's not always, but it can be like your duct tape in your solution, like, hey, I have this Cosmos DB thing, but we also have some SQL over here, maybe we have an Azure Event Hub over there, but I need all of these things to be connected with each other. Like, Event Hub needs to be able to have data in Cosmos, which needs to be migrated to SQL. And it's really easy to just pop in a serverless function or a Logic app and have them talk to each other and then not worry about operating that or scaling that and everything else. So it's a nice scenario for these kind of, like, I just need to put some tape between these services here and it works. It's clean. It's cleaner than
A
nasty duct tape thing, but I guess it could be nasty.
I mean, it's still a little bit of duct tape, but it's better, right?
Sure.
Like, it's
version
simpler.
2 duct tape.
It's version 2 duct tape. Now, what are some examples where people, you know, serverless might not be ideal?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So some of the interesting parts about serverless is where I've seen people struggle in the past kind of deals with how the model works. So because we don't have any persistent storage for you by default and like the consumption plan, if you have something that is calling like an API on the back end, and it's synchronous, like there's a user waiting for that response, it can work with serverless, but you need to be aware that there is this thing called cold start, where if nobody has called that API for 15 or 20 minutes, it's very possible that back in your Azure data center, we're like, hey, Christina's never going to use this function again.
Right.
We can't keep this thing running anymore. So we go and stash it until you call it next time. And then we hurry and set it up, and it only takes a second or two. But it does mean that you might have a user waiting a second or two for that first response. So that's one thing to be aware of. Or like these synchronous flows, that's an area we're still working to improve. We're trying to bring those numbers down. And we do have ways to get around it. Like we have ways that you can reserve so that Christina always has at least like one core running around. But it's something you need to be aware of that you don't want to find at the end of your development lifecycle instead of the beginning. The only other one that I think we're still working to improve is if you have a really big microservices application, like massive, 20 different components.
It's no longer micro, really, is what
you're
saying.
It does become, and it gets difficult to manage. Like, it really becomes challenging to manage all these individual pieces. And there's areas we've done to help improve that. Like, Application Insights has this feature called App Map, and we'll actually, like, show you how all of your apps are connected. And we just announced that again this week, but it's still growing. But that's one area where things like Service Fabric just have, like, this, everything's connected just on its own. Like, you are creating an application mesh. Serverless is still just a bunch of individual components, so you almost have to build that part yourself. So if you want to build that part yourself and it's worth it, you can, but there are definitely scenarios where it's like, if you want this big, robust microservices thing, you know, Service Fabric might actually give you all that out of the box instead of you having to go build those components and functions.
Which makes sense, and I'm glad you mentioned Service Fabric because that, I was kind of wanting to go into where does this kind of all tie in with containers and with other broader orchestration things. And I know you said that there's some new Kubernetes stuff that was kind of announced this week with Azure Functions too, right?
Yeah, there is. And kind of one way to set this too, because in the serverless industry, there's almost been this debate that's been happening where it's like, is serverless the next thing or is containers the next thing?
And you're like, both.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's not a very exciting answer. You don't get like the clickbait headlines, but really, at their core, containers is just a really convenient way to package things up.
Like, right.
Everybody's familiar with zipping up files. If you ask for a bunch of files, I might zip them up and email to you. I'm not changing the files. I'm just choosing them to package them that way. So containers can still live in this world of serverless, but you know, instead of me pushing my function code directly to the cloud, I might stick it in a container first and then push it to the cloud. And then to your point, though, I think what we're seeing in Azure, and that I think we have a real cool offering in terms of the spectrum, is that kind of at its core, bringing it back to the beginning, serverless is just around managing servers less. Well, it's very possible that I might be working for a company or be making strategic decisions where I'm going all in on something like Kubernetes, but I still don't want to have to be managing servers.
Right.
So one of the awesome things that Corey Sanders actually announced this week is the virtual node. And the idea here, if you're familiar with like the virtual kubelet, like I could create a Kubernetes cluster and say, you know, I always want two nodes around all of the time, but maybe I get really popular, people start tweeting hashtag Mr. Serverless,
yes,
and now my website gets bigger. Well, instead of me having to worry about scaling up my Kubernetes cluster, you now have the ability to just turn on this feature and it will go scale out serverlessly for you. It's still in the Kubernetes world.
So it's still in that world, but it's using a function to basically manage, you know, scaling it if it needs to.
Yeah, more or less. And it's all, you know, Kubernetes containers. Everything's managed the same. They appear the same. But now I'm not having to worry about capacity planning. I'm not having to worry about, you know, cost optimizations as much because I just say, just make sure you have enough resources for the people who are coming. I want to use Kubernetes as my management surface, and the rest is taken care of for you. So I think what we're seeing is that this concept and the principles of serverless are really starting to bleed across the entire cloud platform, whether it's things like Service Fabric Mesh, Kubernetes with the virtual node, Azure Functions on the edge. All these things are getting sprinkles of serverless to hopefully bring the goodness to as many developers as possible.
Yeah, because ultimately, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, like you said, there has been that kind of debate, you know, of like what's the next thing, but both are just fundamentally ways of wanting to have to manage things less and let this happen more, you know, automatically.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, one is an orchestrator, but you don't necessarily want to be the orchestrator, like you don't want to necessarily have to be the conductor, so.
Exactly, and that, I said this even before, and I think we'll get there. My dream world is a place where I can start with something as simple as functions. Like, I just open up Visual Studio, I write 5 lines of code, I publish it, and I'm done. But for whatever reason, if I decide that I want to pull back the curtain a little bit more, I want to be a little bit more of the conductor, that I can just almost grab a slider and say, you know what, let me actually have a little bit more control. And then all of a sudden, oh, now I'm looking at Kubernetes. And you pull it back more, and it's like, oh, now I can actually see VMs. But at the end of the day, I just have this productivity spectrum, and I can kind of pick and choose how much orchestration, how much conducting I want to take on, and then we give you those options. So the pieces are there today. I think what we're going to be working on over the next few months and years even is just making this a really cohesive story so that, again, people can just get their stuff done as quickly as possible, but then get the level of control that they care about for their scenarios.
And that's awesome. And I think that kind of goes back to your first point about like the V2 stuff is that it's easy as possible as we can kind of get it for people to get started and kind of understand how things work, then that will lend itself to that ultimate vision of that kind of sliding scale, like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
So we've got a couple more minutes, but where can people find more information about some of this stuff? You mentioned docs before and some of the tutorials going on there. Are there any other resources or videos you would recommend?
Yeah, the Microsoft Learning platform that just got announced too, they have a whole bunch of stuff on serverless. In fact, I heard today, I think you can get like 700 XP points.
Nice.
If you do this. I know, I don't know what
don't know what an XP point is, but I know I want it.
That's exactly where I'm at. How do I get these things? So that's a really cool learning platform that is a good place to start. And then again, the thing that I love, even myself around serverless, is I've started to do more. You really can just think of a problem, whether it's the toll booth problem, whether it's the website thing, and get started up and running very quickly and have something in just a matter of hours or even minutes, depending on the scenario. So I really do encourage people, if you haven't tried this before, open up Visual Studio and click the Azure Functions project, open the portal, just try to build something. Like there's no overhead involved in this. There's no even bill involved. Like you're not gonna be paying anything, but there's really a lot of value in just getting your feet wet with this. And then if you wanna stretch out a little bit more, we've got some of the more kind of interesting add-ons to functions with things like durable functions, which is this new extension that we're just starting to talk about more that actually gives you some coordination and orchestration ability in a serverless way too. So there's plenty of stuff, whether you're a beginner or you've done this a few times. Try to build stuff out, think of a cool problem, try to solve it. If you get blocked, just scream to someone on Twitter and someone will jump in. Like it's got a really cool community around it as well.
And you want to tweet people at you. What's your Twitter name? Are you at Jeff Holland?
Easy enough. So you all got right. It.
At Jeff Holland. And make sure you call him hashtag Mr. Serverless, because we need to get this trending. Yell at him if you've got problems with, yes. with your Azure functions or with any of your serverless things. I'm kidding. Jeff is too nice.
No one will ever have any problems either. It's all flawless, super intuitive. But yes, more than happy to help.
All right. Well, that does it for us. And we're on to the next session. We will see you later.